Welcome to the Leverage Podcast. This is episode 25, and we got a special guest on, Mark Shapiro. Hey, Mark, how you doing, man?
I'm doing awesome. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. And just to give you guys an idea on how I know Mark, I met Mark at a kind of like a mini TED Talk series event called Metal in LA a couple weeks ago. And he has a podcast called The One and Only, and it's all about authenticity. So before we kind of dive in, is there any quick little background you want to give of who you are?
Yeah, sure.
How'd you get here?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I went to school in Atlanta. I lived in LA for 10 years, and I consider myself to be a guy's guy, but I'll be upfront. I'm a pretty emotional and sensitive dude, so I'll throw that out there. And like I said, I was married. I was in an 11-year relationship that came to an end about 2.5 years ago. And when I went into that relationship, like, I just fell head over heels in love. Thought that that was the be-all, end-all. Thought that I had my person. And then kind of the sky started falling as that relationship was falling apart. So when it ended 2.5 years ago, I kind of was back to square one in terms of figuring out, you know, what the hell is going to be next for me. So the last 2.5 years has been just an amazing journey. I've pretty much completely reinvented myself. I've dated a lot, which I'm sure we'll get into here in this podcast, but I also recently left my corporate gig of 12 years at Showtime Networks, going off on my own. And I just love supporting other people. I've gotten so much love, so much support in my journey that I love to give back and help people accomplish whatever goals or dreams that they have and to be true to themselves.
Awesome. So, Mark, you said you were married for what, 12 years, 11 years?
It was an 11-year relationship, married for 4 years, but together for 11.
Okay, got it. And if I had to guess, you're in your, like, I mean, you look like you're in your early 30s.
That's correct. All right, good. Not looking too old or too young. I'm 33.
33? Okay, same as me.
Yeah.
Got it. So I guess I'll kind of dive into the questions here. And one thing I always like to ask guys who, you know, seem to be doing well in this area, what's the one thing that you think that you do that you feel is like the biggest contributor to your success when it comes to meeting chicks?
Being passionate and confident. I know that's two things, but I would definitely say those things because a woman wants a man to have a purpose, to be confident in their own skin. And I'm speaking on behalf of all women here, but I feel like a woman wants a man with a purpose that knows what he's all about, that knows at the end of the day that he's going to come home and he's going to be there. He's going to be reliable. He's going to be there to protect, create a fun environment, a hot, passionate environment as well. So to me, that starts with passion and confidence.
And I also kind of want to dive into a little bit of like entrepreneurial stuff, because that's another thing that we talk about a lot in the Leverage Podcast is, you know, how can guys not just go out and create a lifestyle they want with chicks, but also, you know, create a lifestyle that they want in terms of their career. And you're definitely someone who's doing that. You know, you have your own business, you have your own podcast, you left the corporate world. Can you give us like the same question? What's the biggest thing that's helped you, you know, to basically be your biggest contributor to success when it comes to business and creating that lifestyle?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think passion is that same catalyst. Like whatever anyone does, whatever I do, whatever you do, to do it with passion, because I feel like that's just a great driving force to keep the excitement. And we spend so much of time of our life at our jobs, so it's important to do something that is that I get excited about, that I feel passionate about, that is fulfilling. So I think that that's the number one for me. But then having a really clear vision, because if I have a clear vision, then I know if I'm living like in sync with it or not. And that's been really helpful for me as I have left the corporate world and started a podcast and coaching business, and ensuring that I'm on the right track. So I always go back to the drawing board, take a look at what the action plan is, set very specific goals. So for example, with the podcast, subscription levels, the number of people listening, the reach, and then looking at what's the best way to go out and accomplish it. So there's always a clear game plan and vision at hand.
Got it. So when it comes to, you know, creating that vision, how do you do that, both for girls and for on the business side?
Yeah, that's I'm excited to get into the girl part. I'll start out with the career side. So it goes back to like, all right, I'm going to spend 9, 10, maybe even sometimes 11 hours a day working on something. You know, what am I most passionate about? What am I going to enjoy? And at the end of the day, I feel like really satisfied with my efforts, my contribution, not only to myself, but to society as a whole. So for me, I figured out that making a difference in the world is really my ultimate goal, and helping people be the best they can be. So I set a goal for myself to empower and inspire 100,000 people. And I know that probably sounds crazy, and you're probably thinking to yourselves, how the hell are you going to actually measure that? But I find that it's just a really good barometer for everything that I do. So whenever I'm making like a big decision, I'll always reference it in comparison to this vision of inspiring and empowering 100,000 people. And if there's a decision, let's say, to go to a social event, like, do I feel like I can go and make an impact there? If yes, if that fits with my vision, I'll go do it. If it's just like, you know, an out of control party, maybe I'd still consider to do it. But that's pretty much what goes into it for me. It's just kind of looking at everything that I'm doing and making sure that it aligns with what's most important to me and my overall vision. So that's kind of the professional side. In terms of women, I had a coach that gave me some really great advice. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier, to have a really clear and powerful vision. So I started writing out exactly what I want in a woman, like writing out every single last detail. And I found that that is really, I'll tell you what my dream girl looks like in a second. But I found that that is really valuable for me because it helps me twofold. It helps me identify when I see someone like out and about that possesses those characteristics that I'm looking for in a woman. So I can at least know, you know, should I jump forward and introduce myself? Should I go after it? Or conversely, it helps me if I'm dating someone and I realize that they don't fit this description, than to cut my losses and to move on. So the important lesson here is to not get too overly obsessed with the description. Like I realized, like, here, I'll just throw it out there right now. So I'm looking for a woman who is loving, respectful, giving, confident, fun, open-minded, free-spirited, is ready to settle down, start a family in the next couple of years, love supporting people, so I feel like we can team up together and make a big difference out there. I like brunettes, anywhere from like 5 feet to 5'10", somewhere between, let's say, 24 and 37. I'm pretty open in that regard. And someone who wears their emotions on their sleeve, is open, transparent, conscious, wants to have good, open conversations, and just at the end of the day, you know, be my life partner. So I know that's a lot, but I know I'm worth it. So that is what I am holding out for. And like I said, I'm not attached to every single last detail there, but as long as, you know, that's 80-90% of that, I think I will meet a terrific mate that would make an amazing mother for my future kids.
So it, you know, there's a lot of guys are, you know, in different headspaces when it comes to like, you know, what they're looking for, obviously physically, emotionally, but also just in terms of like a commitment level. So it mm-hmm. sounds like you're kind of looking for someone who you could be with for a long time. So what is your like, you know, day-to-day sort of dating lifestyle look like right now? Like, are you dating chicks? Are you going out? You know, how often are you seeing them? Kind of those questions.
That's a good question. So, let me look at it from more of a macro point of view, and then I'll drill down a little bit more micro. But from a macro point of view, like, I am looking for that real deal love. But at the end of the day, like, I'm not going to sacrifice, you know, short-term pleasure as well. And I'm allowed to have a good time in my journey as I'm not waiting, but in the interim before this dream girl enters into my life. So for me, I'm down to have a good time if the opportunity presents themselves, and a woman comes around who has a similar vision, who's looking for something similar. And that to me is the key point there, is just being on the same page as somebody else, because that ensures that, you know, you're creating something that, you know, you're in sync about. Like, I'm sure, like, all you guys are out there listening, like, you've been on both sides of the spectrum when dating women, where sometimes you'll be more into her than she's into you, or she'll be more into you than you're into them. And it always crashes and burns whenever that scenario is around. So I do my best to avoid those and to cut my losses very quickly when we're not on the same page. But like I said, right now, like there's someone that I'm dating and I'm really enjoying getting to know her, but it's still early and it's long distance. So I'm just kind of taking it one day at a time, but still open to the possibilities, whatever presents itself in the meantime.
Got it. So one thing that I know a lot of guys who they'll come to me, and it's something I kind of struggled with too when I first got into when I first learned about this whole area of improving with women, improving your social skills. And I know you're all about authenticity. And something that clients always ask me is, they're like, well, you know, in the beginning, if I'm just myself, I don't get any results, meaning girls don't like me. I push people away. I turn people off. So how am I supposed to be authentic, but still get these different results that I'm looking for?
Yeah, that's a good question. And authenticity, everyone's got a different definition of authenticity, but it's really being yourself without really regard to the influences that are around you. At least that's, for this example, that's the way that I'm going to define it. So for instance, if someone feels like, you know, they are being themselves, or maybe are being too pushy or like too distant from a girl, it's like, how much is that woman playing in that energy exchange, either driving you away or driving you too close? And what I think in terms of just being authentic is wherever the woman is, whether she's close to you or far from you, that you're unscathed, you're doing your thing anyway. So for me, that is what authenticity is. And, you know, I've heard tons and tons of guys give me this advice, because I've been single now for 2.5 years, and everyone tells me, just, you know, keep doing your own thing, dive into your passions, create the life that you want, and then some woman is just going to see you in action and just want to jump on board and go along for the ride. So I do truly believe that. And since I've kind of really started to pave my own path, I've found that I'm more attractive. And the reason why I can say that is I just have more women who are reaching out to me wanting to get to know me. So yeah. Hope that answers the question.
Yeah, well, one thing that I heard was the main thing is that, you know, when you're less concentrated on meeting and picking up women and you're more concentrating on living your passion, you'll tend to attract a lot more people anyways.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Is there anything that kind of inspired you to quit your corporate job, to move? Like, how did that process work for you? You know, if you can kind of go back to when you weren't as happy doing this thing that you didn't like, how were you able to make that transition into a life where you're spending a lot more time doing what you love?
Yeah. So like I said, I worked at Showtime for 12 years and it was a cushy gig. They took good care of me. I had a great work-life balance. I really never worked like after hours on the weekends. So in a lot of senses, it was a really fantastic job to have. But at the same time, I have very high ambitions for myself. Like, I want to do everything that I've always wanted to do in life. Like, I want to dabble in real estate. I want to run my own company. I'd love to play a supporting role in a movie. Like, I just want to, like, be able to live my life my way, kind of on my own terms. And after 12 years of being in corporate America, I just realized how much, like, I was boxed in. That at least that's how I felt after 12 years, that there was always a feeling, somebody else saying, you can do this, you can't do that. And I kind of found that it just it wasn't an empowering, free environment for me anymore. And while I was still learning, I wasn't really picking up the knowledge at as great of a pace as what I really wanted. And so I started thinking, like, what would I do next? And really, when I started asking myself that question, that was kind of a paralyzing question for me, because I had no idea what I would do next. I was really clueless about it. And the way that I kind of started my path to launch the podcast and do coaching is I started looking within a lot in terms of all aspects of my life, doing some transformational self-growth work. And I realized how much it served me in building my own confidence, authenticity, and empowerment, that I knew that it was something that I wanted to teach. And just by taking one step at a time, starting to coach people, putting together some workshops, I was just asking myself the question, how can I make even a bigger impact? And that's what led to the podcast. And then when I had like 3-4 different ideas, like, all right, I can monetize all 3 or 4 of these things, it was enough for me to be like, all right, I've saved up some money. It's time to take that leap of faith and to just see where it goes. Because I knew there's like, maybe going into it, I was like, all right, maybe the podcast will be really lucrative. Maybe the podcast won't. But then there's the coaching. Maybe that'll be really lucrative, or maybe it won't. So there are just enough buckets for me to say that a couple of these buckets, I'm going to be able to fill them up. And that'll at least give me a good head start into the future. And who knows what other opportunities will present themselves. But I'm just going to take that step and see where it takes me. And it's been really rewarding so far. And like I said, it's super fresh. It's been about 3.5 months since I left my corporate gig. But the podcast has been going great, getting good numbers and getting a lot of acknowledgement. People are telling me that they're finding it really inspiring. So that's the reason I do what I do. So I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing and put my best foot forward every day.
Cool. Yeah, man. Well, you know, it sounds like one thing that you're not really afraid of is being wrong, making mistakes, failing. But can you think back to a time where you were wrong or you made a mistake, and how'd you deal with it and how'd you get through it?
Yeah, I will. I mean, I look at everything that's happened in my life, you know, like I accept it. I think that's really important, to accept the past, because we can't change the past. So in order to have a clean space, clear vision moving forward, is, you know, letting go of things that aren't working. But the only real thing that I would probably change going back in time was the way that I handled that breakup with my marriage. And I consider myself to be a very loyal person. And because I had made that commitment to her, and because it was so, the relationship was perfect for 8 years before it started unraveling, that I would have done anything to save that relationship. And it really got to the point at the end where I had no leverage whatsoever. Being on the Leverage podcast, we're talking about leverage, but I was powerless at the end of the relationship, just kind of at the mercy of my ex-wife. And I think that that was a really damaging place for me to be. And because I let it happen instead of standing in my power and being like, no, I am worth, you know, a beautiful, loving relationship, I'm going to walk away from this because it's not serving me, I didn't do that. So I think I went to a deeper place, a darker place because of that. And I think it was tougher for me then to crawl my way out because of the place of where I dug myself. And when I started dating again after that relationship ended, I had become so accustomed to getting the short end of the stick, letting women you know, treat me not as well as I know that I should be treated. I was okay with it. And so I dated a few women that I felt took more than they gave to me. And it took, you know, that happening a couple more times after the end of my marriage for me to finally say, all right, enough is enough. This is bullshit. I'm worthy of a woman who is going to give as much as I give to her.
Yeah, I've certainly been there. Had my fair share of relationships that where I really saw myself kind of giving my power away, and you find yourself in that just this really fucked up situation where you're not happy, they're not happy either, right? Because right. You know, at the end of the day, they, you know, as bad as it sounds, a lot of women want a guy who can tell them, you know, who can put them in their place and who can be that kind of masculine figure. And women will test you all the time, and they'll see if they can get the upper hand. And then once they do, they'll lose all attraction for you. So
yeah, it's funny that you give that example. It reminds me of The Way of the Superior Man, the David Data book. Have you read it?
Yep. Yeah, one of my favorite books.
Yeah, such a terrific book. And like he says in there that women are always testing men, constantly seeing how strong we truly are, how committed we are to ourselves, to our visions, and just to go along with them and play along with them and to never let it get through your skin. Because the second you do that, that shows weakness. And ever since I read that book, I've been way more attentive to when that comes up with my experiences with women. And I strive to be that superior man and stand in my power and just be playful, even if a woman is, you know, fucking with me or teasing me, you know, just trying to break me down just to test me out.
Right. Yeah, there's a kind of a mindset that I like to think of whenever a chick is being crazy or being a bitch or whatever. I just say, you know what, everything she's doing, I'll just think it's cute, and and never get salty or upset, because as soon as you get salty, you know, or mad or upset, then you know you pretty much just lose. They'll lose all respect for you.
Right.
And then you're pretty much done.
Yeah, what I have a tough time with, going back to the way of the superior man, is there's a passage in there that says that women don't always mean the words that they say. And that's pretty frustrating to me, because I really aim to be transparent and clearly communicate, you know, what's on my mind, how I'm feeling. So it's pretty frustrating to me when I'm dealing with anyone, man or woman, that is telling me something and they don't actually mean what they say.
Totally. You know, one place that you might really enjoy, I don't know if you've been there, but have you ever been to Eastern Europe or dated an Eastern European girl?
I have one.
And the thing that I tell everyone is that, you know, with American girls or Western girls, you can't really trust anything they say, but you can really trust their body language and the things that they do. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the opposite. For Eastern European women, you can completely trust what they say, but you know, as far as body language and you know, the sort of physical love and attention they're giving you, you can't trust that at all. So one thing I love to do is I love to go over there and just practice being authentic and more direct, because they really respond well to it.
Interesting. I can't say that was my experience with the one Eastern European woman I dated, but I don't think she ever actually lived in Eastern Europe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm talking about, you know, Ukraine or Hungary, Croatia, Serbia, sure. Those sorts of places. So, anyways, you can put
beautiful
that on
places,
your...
Beautiful women, purple hair.
Yep. So, out of all, like, your, you know, accomplishments or projects that you're working on, that you have worked on, what do you consider to be, you know, your biggest accomplishment?
I'd have to say my biggest accomplishment was launching the podcast, because there were just so many steps to walk through to actually launch it. And like, believe it or not, like even when I had the idea, I'm like, I'm launching a podcast, I have to also create a website. And I'm like, why the hell do I need a website? So like there were just a million little steps that I needed to make and so many unknowns. Are people going to want to be interviewed? Like I had a list of 12 people and I'm like, these are the people I'm going to go after. And then I got to build a website and I got to decide the format of the show and there's the branding. And the only people I've ever interviewed are when I was hiring people at Showtime. So it was something that was pretty foreign to me. And so I didn't know if I'd be any good at interviewing people, but I just, you know, I had the passion. I had this bigger mission to inspire and empower as many people, 100,000 people. And I just went for it anyways. So it's been a huge success so far. I've now released 22 episodes of the show, and every single one of those first 12 people that I had on my wish list, I've now had on the show. So when I look back and look at that, that was, pretty big success, because it just, you know, started out as an idea in my head. And a lot of time, like I'm sure you guys can relate to this, like, you know, I have ideas and sometimes I'm not sure if they're just fantasies. So to be able to look back at it just 6-7 months later from when I first had the vision, and to know that I'm well on my way, makes me feel really good and proud of myself.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot that goes into a podcast. you have no idea until you start one.
Oh, man, there's just so many hats, so many different roles in terms of launching the baby and, you know, getting guests and preparing for the interviews and marketing them. Like, the list just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, tell me about it. So if you project out like a year from now, you know, it's been a year from today, and both same question for the podcast, your business, and when it comes to your love life, what did you accomplish?
Well, I love this question. So 1 year from now, when I'm back on the show, I will have met this dream woman, and we will be in a great committed relationship with all of those important factors that I mentioned. You know, mutual love, respect, sensuality, intimacy, passion. So I'll have that and have all the peace and fun that comes along with the relationship. And I'll just continue to, I've had a ton of success on the podcast. And when I said I had a list of 12 initial people I wanted to have on the show, in a year from now, I'll have had all of my reach guests on the show. So I've had Seth Rogen on the show. I'll have had Cody Simpson. I will have had Maria Shriver on the show. A bunch of people that I've had on my list since the very beginning. And also, I will have monetized the show at that point. Right now, my audience base isn't quite big enough to get compensated for all the hard work that I've been putting into the show. So a year from now, I will have a couple of really big sponsors who align with authenticity, and I'll be well compensated for all my hard work.
So if we project out even further, but let's just say this, if your career was to end today, would you be happy with the legacy left behind?
Absolutely. I definitely would be. And if you would have asked me the same question a year ago, I would have said no. But I'm really proud of the courage that I've had and put into effect to take this leap that I've made and to make a difference in people's lives. Like, pretty much every single day I'll get a message from somebody, whether like social media or someone hits me up directly via email or calls me and tells me based on some kind of interaction they had with me or something from the show that has had a big impact in their life. And because of that, created a shift for them to go after something they've wanted. That to me is that nothing can make me happier than that. I had a friend who came to my workshop about a year ago. And at the workshop, she had this epiphany that she needed to quit her job and go to Africa and, you know, do good around the world. And she's in Africa right now. So, and she's never been happier, feels so fulfilled. And it's examples like that that make me feel like I'm, you know, bigger than myself. I'm making a difference in the world. And for that reason, like, I really can, if I were to die tomorrow, I'd be happy that, with my efforts and then I put my best foot forward and made an impact.
There's not a lot of people who can say that. So that's pretty awesome.
I mean, I wouldn't have been able to say that for the first 32 years of my life. So, you know, it took me really to grow a pair. I'll be honest. I was a little bitch for a really long time, just waiting for good things to happen to me. And I realized that maybe they still would have happened to me, but at a snail's pace. I'm like, I don't want to be sitting around when I'm 60 years old and wishing, you know, that I could have some time back to make a difference. So the time is now, and I'm doing my best to take advantage of it.
Nice. So one thing I want to ask is, in terms of like the day-to-day stuff, you know, one thing that I really strive to do, and I know a lot of the guys that I work with strive to do, is, you know, use their time as wisely as they can. I know it can be, you know, very difficult running a business because you're your own boss. You have your own schedule. How do you kind of leverage your time? Do all those things in the day that you want to do, you know, go to the gym, eat healthy, work on your business, date. How do you kind of manage all of that?
I make a to-do list every day, and it's always a little bit stretchy in the sense where I like usually put on just a little bit more than I know I can accomplish in the day, but not an overwhelming amount that, you know, just stops me in my tracks and I don't get anything done. And so that's usually in the way that I approach every day. And I do my best, and trust me, I get distracted easily, but I do my best to spend my time doing stuff that is going to project me forward. And so, you know, I really look at everything that I do and I'm like, do I need to be doing this right now? So for example, like I said, I get hit up by a lot of people every single day. And if I just responded to every single person that hit me up, I wouldn't be forwarding myself. I would be serving people and it would be great. It'd be helpful, but I probably wouldn't be accomplishing my big goals. So when I look at it, it's not even necessarily the amount of time I put into work, but it's just being really, really impactful, focusing on the things that are most important that can have the biggest impact first, knocking those out, and then having the time to do whatever the hell else I want to do in that given day.
Yeah, well, one thing I'm hearing in your answer is, you know, you have to say no to some of those things that are less important in order to get the shit done that you really need to get done. And that can be tough.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely takes discipline.
Yeah, that was one thing that I really struggled with, you know, when I first got into all this stuff and running my business, was just, you know, saying no to all the mundane crap that people want you to do, or people just want to dump on you, or, you know, saying no is an art in itself without pissing someone off. And certainly something I've studied a lot. And that really goes along with, you know, your kind of mission of being authentic. You know, in order to be authentic, you have to say no, and you have to, you know, be, I don't know, I guess negative. And a lot of people they don't want to be negative. So it'll be a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a no can actually be like a really powerful thing. You know, if someone, you know, comes at you and, you know, asks for your support in a way that, you know, maybe isn't very intentional or isn't clear, then by saying no, hey, I'm not even clear what your plan is, I can't just give you the time, or I can't support you this way, could be a big breakthrough for the person who's asking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a big believer in honesty, and I think saying no, you know, it's such a challenging thing, and I'm not a master in it. I practice it and do my best, but it's, when I say no, it's showing that I care and that I appreciate that the person's reaching out to me. And if I can do that well, it's going to, you know, leave a longer positive impact than, like, I always look at the long-term thing, and I don't want to burn any bridges. So when I say no, I say that in mind. And I want to tie that back to dating real quick, because there's certainly women that I've gone out with that I thought had been really cool, interesting people. But for whatever reason, I'm not sexually, physically attracted to them. And I always like to tie things up in a bow when I end them, because who knows what's going to come around. Maybe that, you know, woman's friend is, you know, I'm going to run into her, and I want to make sure that, you know, like, that I have credibility and a good reputation. And the reason why I go about that is because I do genuinely care, and I want to enhance people's experience. I don't want to take, I don't want to hurt anyone. And so I'll always be clear. So if I go on a date with someone and I'm not feeling it, I will thank them for their time. I'll usually share an example or two while keeping it brief about what I enjoyed about the experience, and just say, hey, I hope we can be friends. And yeah. 9 times out of 10, when I'll text, you know, a woman that, and I'm only going to text a woman that if we've gone out on maybe 1 or 2 dates, anything really beyond that, it's definitely going to be an in-person meeting or a phone call out of respect. But I found that 9 times out of 10, you know, a date or two, if I'm not feeling it, then they're usually not feeling it either. And that they'll always send me a text back. Hey, thank you so much. Really appreciate the text. Because I know I've been sitting, hanging for sometimes like a week or two, waiting to hear back from a woman who might be sending me mixed messages. And there's nothing more frustrating than that. So I try to lead by example and to be the bigger man myself and to clearly communicate where I'm at and go from there.
Awesome. So let me open up to questions real quick.
Sure.
So if you guys have questions for Mark, just go ahead and start firing them off.
Okay, I have a question.
Sure.
This is in response to Robbie's suggestion about just the mindset of everything that she does is cute. But what if you don't? What if you don't feel that at all? What if you just try to treat it like it's cute, or if you, at that point do you go off?
Well, Gavin, let me ask you this: is there a particular person that you have in mind when you ask this question?
This is actually a little bit more hypothetical. I mean,
I mean, if someone is like really getting to you, if it's really annoying, then you got to ask yourself, like, is that really someone that you want to be spending your time with?
Okay.
Because, Kevin, like, if it's getting to you, then there's a reason why it's getting to you. I mean, there's a lot of times women, or anyone for that matter, friends will say stupid stuff, but usually we only feel things when it really strikes a nerve. So if there's a woman that is really annoying you, saying some stuff that isn't cute at all, just you got to ask yourself the real question. Is this someone who I really want to spend my time with? Or am I just spending my time with her because it's better than nothing?
Okay, yeah.
Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, what else do you guys got?
I got something to say.
Yeah.
I like that whole thing about tying things in a bow for kind of credibility. That's pretty badass, because thinking back in my past, like, I didn't really tie things off. I kind of just disappear, I guess. That's kind of messed up, but I really like that. I'm going to try using that. But that book that you guys are talking about, what book was that?
That wasn't from a book. That's just like personally what I do. But The Way of the Superior Man, I definitely recommend that book.
What other questions do you guys have?
What is your take on authenticity? Like, how do you define it? Because, you know, we have heard so many rehashes of it that it's almost a cliche. There's a book called Radical Honesty. Then there was the whole Authentic Man program. What is your definition or take on being authentic?
Yeah, so my like true definition is twofold. I look at authenticity in the now, in a micro sense, in terms of like really speaking my truths in the moment, you know, expressing how I really feel in the moment, really without regard to people pleasing. And so that's the first part. And then the second part is ensuring that, you know, where I am today on a macro level, like that is in sync with what I want most in life. So that's the way that I look at it. And what's kind of cool, because I have a podcast about authenticity, is I ask every single person who's on the show what their definition is. And everyone's kind of got their own little definition, their own way of going about it. And there's really no right or wrong answer. But I found, for me at least, that when I'm feeling confident and courageous to be able to say how I really feel in a moment, that it gives me the confidence and the empowerment to do whatever the hell I want. And I say that, and I mean, with good intention. I'm not looking to fuck anyone over. And I feel as long as when I'm being authentic, I'm being responsible about it. So I'm going to be responsible about my emotions. Like, I'm not going to be a huge asshole to someone. Like, I think there's a responsible way of being authentic where I can honor my feelings, but at the same time, you know, deliver a message in a way that lands with someone. So let's say that someone pisses me off, I'm walking down the street and someone, like, I smile at someone and someone's like, don't smile at me, fuck you. Like, I'm not going to pick up that anger and take it back out on them. I'm just going to say, you know, sorry you feel that way. I just wanted to send some love your way.
Can you expand more on that being authentic while being responsible part?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. So it gets a little challenging because authenticity is just letting it, expressing yourself. So if you've got anger, then that anger usually needs to come out. But, you know, it's being smart about it. Like, if you're in a fight with your girlfriend, okay, like, yelling at her is probably not going to make the situation any better. Even if it feels good to let go of that anger, I recommend going outside, screaming at the top of your lungs, and then going back in and coming from a responsible place and telling her what's really going on, why you really are so angry, what you're scared of, and what you're committed to moving forward. Was that more supportive?
Yes, thank you.
Cool.
I like that one, going outside and having a good little yell and then coming back in and confronting her.
Yeah, I mean, usually when we fight in relationship, you know, we fight about circumstances, like, you know, you told me you were going to call me and you never did, or, you know, you were looking at that other woman, or you never want to spend time with me, like you were just away with your friends last weekend. Like, those are all circumstances. So the reason why, you know, she's bringing it up to you is because there's something deeper below the surface. So if you're looking at other women, there's a trust thing. So, you know, don't just, you know, fight it off by saying, I wasn't looking at that other woman. No, you got to tell her, you know, I'm not interested in other women because I love you. So really getting to the root whenever you're in any kind of argument versus getting caught up in the circumstances, because it'll continue to present itself until the root is actually addressed.
Totally agree. It's a great little hack there, relationship hack. I like that. So, you know, we've talked a lot about you and your business in passing. Can you now specifically tell, you know, everyone on the call and the audience where to go and find out more about you and your business?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I would love if you guys supported the podcast, checked it out. It's called The One and Only. It's on iTunes. And my website is makeyourmarktoday.com. So check that out. And I would love to have you check out the podcast, see what I'm up to, and continue to keep in touch and let me know if there's any way that I can support you and your visions. There's been so many people who have helped me along the way, so I'm all about giving back.
Awesome. And I'll put a link in the show notes to makeyourmarktoday.com. And once people are there, there's a way they can find you and email you and stuff like that if they want more info.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm on all the social media platforms, and, you know, I do the best to get back to everybody. Just if you hit me up, you know, let me know that, you know, you heard me on the Leverage Podcast.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on. It's been a great interview. I've certainly learned a lot, and it's been fun chatting, Mark.
Robbie, you're the man. Really appreciate it. And to everyone who's listening, go out there and kick some ass. Take a risk and go pursue what you really want most.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks, Mark, and everyone take care.
Sounds good. Take care. Thanks, man.